Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Vasilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 303, being recorded on the 31st of October, 2019, with special guest Vijay Sisla. I'm Sajid, and on Teams with me, we have Evan, Kale, Kendall, and of course, our special guest, Vijay, who we'll get to in just a minute. But before that, let's take a quick rundown on the news. And Evan, it seems like, I don't know if it's me, but the news seems to be pretty light this week. Any idea what's going on?
It is. You know, I don't know. There must be some big party coming up or something. I don't know. With
really?
You know, maybe some event in Florida or something. I don't know. That surely teams wouldn't hold stuff for that.
Yep. I think you may be onto something there. We have the Ignite conference coming right up next week. And as a matter of fact, our special guest is going to give us a sneak peek into something coming up at Ignite in the Azure backup space, but we'll let him get to that good stuff in just a minute. Why don't we talk about some of the news that's hitting the wire this week? What do you got?
Yeah, so we've had a couple of guests on recently talking about kind of edge, the edge scenarios, edge computing and whatnot. And, you know, we just released Azure Event Grid to be available on Azure IoT Edge. And, you know, what this is going to allow customers to do is to move some of that processing that historically they would have needed to do in the cloud, right? Now they can use, Azure Event Grid, but they use it on their edge devices, right, as part of the IoT Edge. This allows them to do some kind of, you know, if they have intermittent connectivity or if they want, you know, individual IoT devices to talk to each other, right, they can kind of use this server between. It's just a great way to move that processing closer to the source and deal with the fact that you may or may not actually have access to the public cloud.
Yeah, and I've been actually working with IoT Edge recently. I'm actually building an IoT Edge module for a customer. And one of the challenges is when you have multiple modules in the Edge device, how do they talk to each other? How do they send events from each other? Event Grid would be a nice way to do that, but if you have to be connected, now you can be disconnected and still do that within the Edge device itself. So it opens up a lot of possibilities for processing on the Edge there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that kind of in the same vein on the IoT theme, the IoT Central, which is our Uber IoT application that encapsulates IoT Hub, Edge devices, a bunch of other things, event grid, the streaming of events, et cetera, telemetry collection, viewing. That has gone through a whole bunch of updates, and there's some new features that are available out there. Primarily, they've introduced some new industry-focused application templates so that you could say, hey, you know, I have this transportation scenario, or I have this building, smart building scenario, or something like that. So they've added some more acceleration builders, you know, across health, retail, government, energy industry, et cetera. They've added some more public APIs so you can program them remotely and increase the management and the export and extension capabilities of this. So a lot of new features coming to the IoT Central. What else you got there?
So I think we've talked about Service Map before, but what we've done, so Service Map is now available in more regions. I think we're up to 18 regions where it's available. Remember when we used to have 18 regions with everything? I think we're like 60 plus now or something like that. And somebody's probably gonna call me tomorrow and say, you forgot two. Service Map it's an agent-based solution that allows you to see kind of what processes, what connections, inbound and outbound your application is making. It really just allows you to kind of point to your workload and say, who's talking to whom and doing what, to understand what the dependencies and what the interactions are, right? Super, super powerful when you're trying to understand your workload. Because again, these things drift over time, they evolve, right? And so being able to kind of have a snapshot at any one time of this is what my app is doing, this is what its dependency tree looks like, super, super helpful.
I wonder, do you think it uses something like the Network Watcher or the Flow Logs under the covers? I wonder how it figures
well,
out.
Well, I know. I mean, I know it does an agent. So it's agent based. So there's an agent on the VMs that kind of sees a lot of this information. What I don't know off the top of my head, and maybe I'll make a note to maybe reach out to the Service Map team and get them on here to kind of talk about what they're doing. But if I had to guess, right, there is some integration with some of the other components as well, because all that information exists, right? So leveraging it and giving people an even bigger, more expansive view of the workload would make total sense.
That's correct. Okay. Well, that's a good roundup on the news this week. So without further ado, why don't we hand the mic over to our special guest, Vijay. So Vijay, why don't you go and introduce yourself to our guests and give us an idea as to what you do at Microsoft and what your passion is in the Azure space and what are you kind of working on these days?
Sure. Thank you, Sujit. I'm Vijay Tantrasisla. I'm a principal program manager lead responsible for the Azure Backup Service. I've been with the team for more than 5 years. I've been with the Windows Server and SQL Server before this, part of Microsoft. And my passion in terms of work is all about enterprise customers and, you know, their sort of scenarios and how do I make, enterprise customers happy. So that's the domain I've been part of. And specifically from technology areas, I've been primarily focused on disaster recovery, data protection, high availability space. So that's my, from a technology side, been my area. What drives me is essentially, talking to a lot of customers, making sure that they're successful with, what they do with our products and solutions. That's really what drives me. And so happy to have the opportunity to talk to folks on the podcast. Thank you for the opportunity, Sujit.
That's great. Thank you so much for joining us. I know it's late over there. I know that you guys are very excited about what's coming up in Ignite and what you guys are going to announce. And you were kind of nice enough to give us a little bit of a sneak peek on that. So what, if you were to kind of summarize all the updates that you guys are working on, what's the kind of common theme that you see, that's going into Ignite? What is the theme of all these updates for Azure Backup?
Yeah, so Ignite is one of the sort of the big events for Microsoft. We expect a lot of enterprise customers and, small, medium businesses all to show up. Those folks who are looking at migrating to Azure, modernizing their applications in Azure, what are the tools that are available in Azure? That's kind of the overall theme that's going to be from a Azure perspective. Obviously, there are other sessions in Office and, Windows and all of that. But from Azure, this is kind of the main sort of focus. And from an Azure backup perspective, we're looking at sort of three broad themes in here. One is how do we expand the footprint of things that we protect in Azure, right? So for example, customers are ever increasing their estate in Azure. So earlier they used to, run their dev test workloads in Azure, maybe use the Azure more as a, cloud as a secondary sort of choice. Primarily they're on-premises, running their business on-premises. But today we see a lot of customers actually using Azure they depend on Azure. So which means that their footprint is growing, their size of their configurations are growing, the number of things that they deploy in Azure are growing. So essentially, we're going to talk about sort of what are the capabilities we're adding in Azure Backup to protect these kind of new entities or, larger configurations. That's sort of one theme. Second is, it's all about making sure there is resiliency and availability of your backups, right? It's very critical that your backups are always available so that you can restore at any time. So we're going to talk about some of those capabilities that make sure the data is always available when the customer needs it. So that's the second sort of theme. Third is, as I said, that the estate is growing in Azure. As you see, the sprawl of things that you need to protect in Azure grows. You need solutions that can manage things efficiently, be able to govern them if something that is violating the SLA or you're not getting the right kind of compliance, unable to meet the compliance need. You need to be able to know about it as an administrator, and have a way to monitor your usage, how much you're spending in Azure, all of that. So we're going to talk about capabilities that allow administrators and auditors and folks like that that can look at governing their environment in Azure, right? So those are the sort of three broad themes that we're going to talk about at Ignite.
And is there one of them that you're close to? Is there something that you're more passionate about, or you kind of feel like these are all equally of all equal importance?
Yeah, all three are equally important. So there isn't like one personal favorite or anything. But that said, I think I would say that the first thing that customers need is the ability to sort of run bigger workloads, and that's like the first thing that customers start with their journey. So it's very critical that we are able to support bigger and larger sort of configurations of customers. So for example, go ahead.
Now, I was going to ask you, probably you're just going to say it, like how large is large? Like, what size are we talking about here?
Yeah. So a year ago, I mean, when we had, virtual machines, for example, a single disk would be like 4 terabytes or maybe even 1 terabyte, right? That's the extent of your size of VM and what you can protect. And obviously, you can have more disks attached to your virtual machine, but still you're capped at sort of a certain size. So, but now, some of the announcements we're making are allowing customers to, A, have larger disks attached to your virtual machines. For example, you could have 32 terabytes of disks attached to your virtual machine, and you could have more than 16 disks attached to your virtual machine. So, and this is very important both from, from multiple angles. So one is customers have larger databases running in these these virtual machines, and they need higher IOPS. So they are using these large disks with higher IOPS. And given these are mission critical, they need data protection, and that's kind of where Azure Backup comes. So that's one. Second, we see a lot of container sort of deployments where customers having several disks connected to their virtual machine, and these disks, all of them need to be backed up, right? So earlier we had limits of 16 disks per virtual machine, but now we're going to increase that limit, and so people can attach like 32 disks to a virtual machine and have data protection enabled for that. So that's one. And then the second thing is on the Azure Files. So in Azure Files, earlier, again, the limit was like 5 terabytes per file share. But then we are seeing customers having, needing file shares that are much larger, like 100 terabytes, right? So again, the conversation has now completely changed. And now we're going to have to support customers who have that high rate of demand for larger file shares. And that's exactly what we're working on, and we are happy to announce at Ignite. So
that's awesome. Hey, Vijay, this is Cynthia. I had a question. We also had a discussion with Art not too long ago about resiliency on storage. How do we think about Azure Backup in a sense of high availability and disaster recovery? How's that different than when we talk about that in terms of storage?
Yeah, so let me start from the beginning on that question. So essentially, resiliency and having a disaster recovery solution, right? It's sort of two parts to that. One is the data availability and durability, right? So that is making sure that data is always available, no matter what kind of outage it is. If it's a single stamp in the storage rack went down, whether it is a region that or a zone or data center that's down, or a region that's completely out of commission because there was a major sort of outage, right? So that is one part, and the data being durable, right? Second is actually having an ability to have access to that data, right? So it's not good if you just had the data but this you couldn't access it when you need to, right? So that's the second part about availability, right? So that you need to make sure of that. So earlier, we would have the data durability, but the access was restricted, and people would have to wait for some kind of a Azure event or something that Azure would do to make the data accessible. So the customers did not have self-service to get access to the data, the backup data, right? So that's what we're trying to address here by providing the knobs that need that enables customers to get access to their data when they need it, right? And not wait for Azure to do any kind of failover or whatever, right? So it's critical that the data is durable, but also available when the customer needs it. So that's the big part of the sort of the resiliency team.
Thank you. And then also kind of following up on what you were talking about earlier, where customers now have much bigger needs for either VMs or the disks that are attached. Do you think this is going in a good direction of the need to have such big disk? Or in your opinion, are there ways that they could have optimized it so that we don't go into such large either disk or even CPUs or RAMs?
Yeah, I mean, it's the direction is basically the customers are consuming Azure for their bigger workloads, their mission critical workloads, right? So SAP, for example, is one of them where you're talking about the SAP deployments where a single HANA database would be like 2 terabytes, and they would have memory of 2 terabytes so that the database can run sort of in memory form, right? So all the data in the database is hydrated in memory and then stays in memory so that they can get faster performance, right? So that whole bigger and better sort of thing gives an indication in the right direction, which is to say customers are betting more on Azure and they want bigger configurations so that they can run their mission critical workloads. And backup being one of those important fundamentals, right? We need to have data protection for those larger workloads. That's kind of the underlying point here.
And great, and that covers like one of the themes that you mentioned. I think you also mentioned something about being available globally, having more geo resiliency. What can you say about that?
Yeah, I think Cynthia just talked about that briefly, and so what we're to talk to that point again, basically. I talked about the data availability, right? The durability. So today, in the context of backup, the capability that is lacking today is that while the data is resilient or durable in multiple data centers, if there is a partial outage in one of the data centers, the backup data is not accessible by the customer in another region if there is an outage, right? So the data is there. So if is there a complete meltdown of a data center or a region, then Azure would do something to get the data back for you because it's there, right? But the customer is not in control. So what we're enabling is the ability for the customer to be able to restore any time that they choose to. So that solves two problems. One is the data is always accessible. The backup data is always accessible. Number two, they can also use this as a way to be compliant with their BCDR. So if they have to run an audit where they need to be BCDR compliant, they can always come back and say, okay, I did my testing. I did my annual testing or quarterly testing. I know the data is durable in an offsite location. I'm able to access it and it works. So that confidence, they can build that confidence and do that anytime as demanded by the audit and regulation requirements.
Okay. And so that solves the so that covers the second theme. So one of the things about backup is that I think I heard it the other day is that you don't know you need backup until you need it, right? Until there's mm-hmm. some sort of event that happens. Maybe somebody had an oops event, maybe forgot to delete something or whatever. So how can we make backup more front and center for our customers so that that is something that is either more obvious when they create storage devices or resources, or it's almost forced onto them.
Yeah, so we actually believe in choice for the customer. So we don't force backup or data protection onto the customer. So we do respect that the customers might have workloads that are temporal in nature. For example, they may spin up a large compute cluster do a processing or data job or something, and then tear down their virtual machines and, you know, and the infrastructure, right? And then they store the data somewhere, right? So they maybe bring it back on premises. So those are the scenarios that are there. So so that's one class of scenarios. Then there are class of scenarios where the customers are running their mission critical workloads, the data is in Azure, and they need data protection, right? So we believe in that sort of customer having the choice to say, okay, this workloads, I don't need backup. These workloads, I do need data protection. So they can choose. But what we're doing is a few things. One is we're as part of the Ignite announcement, you'll see ways that we can enforce policies based on the customer's intent, saying that if my virtual machine is tagged with some sort of, saying it's a production VM, we can automatically look for those kind of virtual machines in your environment and turn on backup for those. So that's one thing, one kind of thing that we do. Something we already have in the market is an advisor recommendation, so which tells that some part of your estate is not protected. So that's something that we have today in Azure Advisor. So if you log on to the Azure portal, go to the Azure Advisor and tell you what VMs are not protected, right? But then if your estate is like much bigger, like, you know, you have lots of regions, lots of departments, a lot of subscriptions, right? There is no one place for you to be able to know what's being backed up, what's not being backed up, if something is backed up, is it, you know, meeting the SLA? There's just no global way to look at that, right? So as part of our sort of governance pillar that I was talking about, we're adding capability, and we'll show that in the Ignite demonstrations, that you can actually, from a single dashboard, be able to see what's protected and what's not protected through a simple user interface, right? So then you can take a corrective action. Maybe you forgot to include these virtual machines as part of your policy creation, right? So and then you can take the corrective action, make sure that you're protected, right? So that way, you know that backups are enabled for what you need. And if it's not working, you also know why it's not working. And then you can take the corrective action based on these dashboards that we're going to showcase at Ignite.
That's nice. It's really good holistic set of updates coming up over there. I think it kind of resonates with the themes that you mentioned earlier. So good, nicely done there. So BJ, is there any other things that you want to share with our customers? Like any, I know you're going to be at Ignite. Is there any opportunity for our listeners to meet up with you when they're there, if they're attending, etc.?
Yes, we are very happy to meet you folks at Ignite. Ignite is in Orlando this year, November 4th through November 8th, and we have a booth for Azure Backup. This will be located in the Azure area, and we have several teams there: Azure Storage, Azure Backup, Compute, Containers, and there are several sort of teams. So do find us there. Myself, my colleagues will all be there at the booth, or if you need to ping me offline, I can share the link to Sujit, and you can drop me a mail, and then if you need to have a deep conversation on any topic, you have a business problem where you need to sort of look at how to, have your data protection strategy, we can definitely talk about that. Very happy to meet folks there.
Yeah, I believe our own Kale Tito will also be there, right, Kale? He's
for sure.
Yep.
I'll be at our blockchain booth, but happy to direct listeners over to the backup area as well.
Thanks, Kale.
Sounds good. Okay. So send me if you want to send me any reference material, again, for some of these updates, I'll put them along with the show notes when we publish this podcast before Ignite. Well, Vijay, thank you so much. Appreciate you taking the time. And thanks, guys, for all the great questions. Best of luck with Ignite and all your demos.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kale.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org. under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.